Hello and welcome to the Geek and Review Podcast. I'm Jeremy Pappas, alongside, as always, a man who had learned the hard way not to touch Lola. It's Mr. Rensel Jones, Russell.
Believe me, you don't touch Lola. It's not so much a, you know, admonishment by the person driving her as much as it is a warning of if you touch Lola, Lola touches back.
Ah, what's happening, man?
Good things all around. Just a ton of different stuff going on. Getting ready for Extra Life with the Video Game Writers Crew, so I'm starting to stream video games, surprisingly enough, over at Twitch TV. Mm-hmm. Trying to get all that worked around. My computer ultimately has the processor on it, I think, is a little too slow to really, like, you know, bust Skyrim up to high res everything and then do a full 1080p stream. That's not in my future, but I think I might try doing a bunch of older school games that don't require a lot of processor speed on. So I'm testing out a bunch of stuff on
Twitch. I will post a link to all of Russell's stuff there on the podcast page if you wanted to get together. We are also going to be doing, or we have talked about, streaming our regular
Edge of the Empire.
I wanted to say Age of Empires.
It's coming up. Age of Rebellion.
Age of Rebellion is coming up. I was actually thinking Age of Empires.
Yeah.
This is completely off topic. I got a new phone and I've been trying to really hone in on my sounds because I want things to not be too obtrusive, but I also want them to be kind of customized. And I found the perfect notification sound for me anyway is the sound from Age of Empires 2 when you click on an ally, it goes zong dong, and it's very low key, but it always make whenever I hear it, I will recognize it because I've literally played Age of Empires for like years at a time. So that's why my mind is stuck on Age. Not only beside the fact that it's a fantastically amazing game, we are going to be streaming our Edge of the Empire something at some point. I know we play with some folks from VGW. In our normal Thursday/Wednesday game, and we'll have all that information as we get closer to the date. You can always check out the podcast page if you're interested in checking it out. Whatever you're doing for Extra Life, we would be interested. Shoot us an email or hit us up on Twitter, and we will mention that on a future podcast. So we are definitely getting ramped up for that. Today's podcast is two topics driven. We have more, but we will likely not need to get into them. The first being, of course, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. premiered on Tuesday.
Finally.
We've been talking about it. They had actually aired the pilot at Comic-Con, I want to say?
Yes.
And it got rave reviews, but of course, it's going to get rave reviews at Comic-Con. There's no way it wouldn't get rave reviews. And we've mentioned it several times. We've talked about it as you know, we're very much into the cinematic universe, Marvel, and to a lesser extent DC, but that's true for literally every living person. So we finally got to watch it. It premiered Tuesday. Last Tuesday. I know Russell has seen it more than once.
Yep, watched it. We had things to do Tuesday night when it aired, so we couldn't watch it live, and I stayed off Twitter, and then woke up because my cats woke me up at 6 a.m. the next day. And before I went to work, I went downstairs and turned on Hulu and watched it before I went to work, which was a nice way to start the day. And then that night, got home, and Macy had seen it, watched it on iPad while she was working at the office, and we were both like, oh, this is so cool. And we sat down, and I think we were planning to try to watch like the pilot for Sleepy Hollow, because we'd heard it was really good as well.
I'm hearing the same thing.
And then we just looked at us like, you really want to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., don't you? Yeah, so we just watched it again. And it was as good, if not better, the second time, because you start picking up on the little things.
Uh-huh.
Like, for instance, and this is obviously going to be spoilers because it's out there.
It's a TV show. You can literally go watch it for free right now. Go do that before you listen to the rest of this. Spoiler alert, but it's not a movie. It's a TV show, and it's free. Go watch it.
Exactly. So the farm at the end kind of threw me for a second.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I watched it again, the very first thing that the, I want to call him the Hood, because there was the Hood, the superhero show that they tried to take off. It didn't really go anywhere.
That
or
was
cape.
Called the Cape.
The Cape. Yes. The Hood or the Cape. There's a Hood. There's a Hood.
The Hood is what they call Green Arrow in Arrow. They call him the Hood.
But there's another Hood out there somewhere. I think he's.
There's Red Hood.
Marvel. That could be it. He's a villain. He uses the Hood to jump.
Are you talking about Cloak and Dagger?
No, not Cloak and Dagger. I think that he's the villain that you run into very early on if you're playing Marvel Heroes, the online Diablo clone. Anyway, that's totally off the subject.
Right.
But it's Gunn, basically, from Angel. So Gunn at the beginning, he's talking to his son, and he says, hey, we'll go to your aunt's house this weekend. Remember, you like to play in the pond or swim in the pond. I was like, oh, duh. It fits. It makes sense. So it was like you watch it through the first time, and there were all tons of little pieces that didn't immediately click. Mm-hmm. And then I watched it through a second time, and all the last bits and pieces fell together. And I was like, okay, good. I wasn't losing my mind. They didn't just randomly throw him out on some farm out in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
He went to the farm.
Not the farm.
Not the
he
farm.
He went to a farm. He didn't go he to the
went,
farm.
He actually went to a family. So, you know, continuity. But the thing that struck me the most overall, other than just it was a good pilot, it was a very, very, very solidly done good pilot in a you know, a world where we've come to expect pilots to basically be crap, and then we have to get past them so that we can get into the real show.
Right.
This was a good pilot.
Right.
And it was very, I would argue it was very Joss Whedon-y. There were, you know, Whedon moments kind of baked in throughout it. The little mm-hmm. throwaway lines, you know, the he loves, I think he just loves writing Clark Gregg's dialogue as Coulson, because he gives him just so many little zingers and quips and throwaways, because that's what he's good for. And that's what he's good at, among other things.
Right. I get the sense that, and I've gotten this sense kind of from the beginning, that if any character written by Joss Whedon was Joss Whedon, it's Phil Coulson.
Absolutely.
If he had put himself into any character, it's Coulson, which I'm essentially saying Coulson is a Joss Whedon Mary Sue in his own universe.
Yeah.
But that being said, I think it works well as that sort of Mary Sue-like character. In that, it's not, it doesn't have the normal Mary Sue tropes, but you can tell that Whedon writes, if you've ever watched interviews with Whedon, he's very Coulson-esque. So I he gets a pass on that from me, and Coulson's a great character.
A really great interview on that same thought. There's a really great interview that was done with Joss Whedon for Entertainment Weekly that's up online. I linked it on my Facebook like earlier in the week.
Mm-hmm.
I think it came out the day that S.H.I.E.L.D. Premiered. And he's talking about, you know, his writing and the show and a couple of different things. And it's just, it's a really good look into, you know, because the speech at the end that really kind of, the only thing that bugged me about the show was that the whole confrontation at the end with, I keep calling him Gunn because he's Gunn, God damn it.
Right.
With Gunn and with
Hood or
with,
the hero.
With Greg.
Whatever.
Well, no, with Clark Gregg and with, you know, J. August Richards. With J. August Richards and Clark Gregg, that thing that's going down, and J. August Richards is talking about, you know, we're, there are giants and we're the ones they step on and
right,
all that stuff.
Right, right, right.
So that all felt a bit clunky in places.
Well, and the reason for that is it doesn't really make sense. He's talking about superheroes in the second person. No, he's talking about superheroes in the third person as if he wasn't a superhero. But he's a superhero. I kind of got that same feeling. Like, well, they're gods. Well, dude, you're not a normal person. I mean, you're a normal person that has been given these powers, but you have the powers. So
for that right. moment, while he's got the thing on his arm, you know.
Right.
So he's performance enhanced.
Yeah, I mean, what I really loved about, because I am not as, I'll just come out and say, I'm not as enthusiastic as Russell is, which is pretty common for me. Just pretty common in general. There were certain things about the pilot that I did not love. I will agree wholeheartedly with the first little bit of what we were talking about, in that it was a really good pilot. I come from the world of pilots suck, just generally. They are, it's from what they're intended to be. You don't have any background. You have to get all of that information out there. So you have the very cliche, oh, Melinda May is the pirate, or is the pilot? She's just the pilot. I know.
She may have been a pirate at one point. Yeah, we don't know yet.
Pilot, that not could pirate. Still happen. They have to get all that stuff out there, and you have to learn, and everyone is kind of amped up to 11. You're not really seeing their flaws, except the obvious flaws that they absolutely want you to see.
Right.
Pilots have that sort of narrative they have to stick by, which makes them inherently shitty. But it's this like did a good job. Oh, absolutely. And this is true for virtually all pilots. This has nothing to do with this pilot in particular. And this was a good pilot. If you were ranking pilots from 0 to 10, 0 being, you know, Paul Reiser's show, and 10, which was canceled after 3 days, and 10 being a genuinely good episode of a TV show, this was like a 7, which is good. There were things I didn't love. I didn't really like the guy who you apparently know, the guy who played the Hood or the hero, the sort of main. Yeah. I didn't think he was very good.
Well, he's a
acting wise.
Well, he's a Whedon guy, and he arguably, he was there because he's a Whedon guy, and yeah, because you know,
Whedon
likes to work with all of his friends.
Oh, yeah, and I love that. I saw Much Ado in theaters and loved every single Nathan Fillion having moment of it. He didn't do a great job. The kid was not a very good actor. A lot of the secondary actors I didn't like. A friend of mine who's really big into Marvel-y type stuff really didn't like it, and she was really looking forward to it. She really didn't like it, and her criticism was, and I think this is kind of fair, it was very CW-y, which it was better than a CW show, but it did share, so like, it kind of reminded me of Arrow a little bit. It kind of reminded me of that stuff done better. But again, the pilot is usually where you spend the greatest amount of money. So every other, like, going forward, it's supposed to look worse because it does usually. Yeah. So if it gets CG wise, if it gets lesser than it is now, it'll look like something from sci-fi and not in a good way. Hopefully that's not the case, because here's the good thing about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that I think they really have going for them, and this is why I foresee this being really successful. They're guaranteed the season.
Yes.
So infrequently are shows guaranteed the season. The closest I think that we have in this season to another show that's pretty much guaranteed the season is the Michael J. Fox show, and it's not doing super well. It's a great show, by the way. You should watch it if you're not. It was very funny. The two episodes they have out now, the pilot and then the Neighbors episode, which is this, I guess, episode 2. Which I unfortunately watched first. Thank you, Hulu, for not having the pilot, but having the other one. But there have been talks about, because it didn't pull the numbers they wanted.
Yeah.
And there have even been talks about it potentially not lasting the season, but I'm sure it will, just based on, you know, what it is. It was really nice for them to go into the pilot, and you could tell, and they set all that stuff up. You learn that Coulson thinks that he survived the attack during the attack of New York, the attack from Loki when he killed him. And then you learn that Coulson thinks that's the case, that he survived. But then you also learn later that he doesn't necessarily know the truth.
Yeah.
Which was something we had speculated quite wildly about before. Is it going to be real Coulson? Is it going to be clone Coulson? Is it going to be android Coulson?
I am absolutely 100% after watching this show, I feel like that we have had confirmed, basically, that he's a life model decoy.
Feel that way, too, unless they wanted to simplify life model decoys into making them basically just clones.
Mm-hmm.
Which I could see potentially happening.
And like a biosynthetic clone of some sort, right. Which essentially
some sort of androidy clone type thing. Oh well, Shield does this on all of their all of their blah 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 blahs. Right,
right.
That I can understand. That will likely happen. I also think he might be like some sort of android, but I don't know. Maybe we'll see. Or maybe he has superpowers. They had to revive him, which gave him something like that. We'll get into that. As it moves along, I enjoyed the show. I will continue to watch the show. It's on my DVR and it'll be there until they stop airing it. I feel good about the show. It did not blow me away in the same sense that you got from Comic-Con, where it's the greatest thing ever. It's just like watching a blah, blah, blah. I didn't love. The thing I liked about it the most was they weren't afraid to reference the movies. They weren't afraid to reference things in the movies. In fact, this whole episode was essentially the same stuff that was in Iron Man 3.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same stuff. I mean, and they even called it by the same name, which I really dug, because too infrequently when you create a show like this that is derivative, and I don't mean that in a bad way. So a lot of people say, oh, well, it's just derivative. It is derivative. It's derivative from what's come before it. It has been derived. Something like this that's derivative, they don't want to blatantly reference what's come before it, because you don't know for sure that your audience is going to want to... You don't know for sure that your audience is going to have seen it, is going to recognize it. And if there's one thing I've seen from corporate meddling, it's that corporation types always tend to think that the audience... We have to make it dumber and dumber and dumber and dumber for the audience. Which can be a good thing. That way you don't get really highfalutin stuff. But at the same time, it tends to impact negatively the product. This, right. I really feel like they fought for... Listen, we've established this base. We've established this Marvel Cinematic Universe base. Let's own it and let's use it. And they did, I think, very successfully. It really made it fit. I really felt like it had a place in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It wasn't sort of, you know, like Hydrox to Marvel Cinematic Universe's Oreos. It was a part of it. And moving forward, I think you'll definitely see, I think we can expect to see cameos from actors in the movies. I think we can expect to see a ton of stuff. So, I was a fan. It was pretty good.
I think along the same lines of keeping everything within the same universe and, you know, being able to, like, you know, throw out something like Extremis and have it be kind of a throw-in thing.
Right.
I think that with Marvel especially, you're finally in the situation where the hook is so big because of the way that the Marvel Universe has been set up on the film side of things and the TV side of things. The people who are watching this is so big. I mean, it's not like they're doing this in a vacuum. They've seen the numbers from the movies. They've seen the numbers from the different things. They know what they can and can't do. Mm-hmm. And I think in this case, they're like, if we can take these chances with anything, this is the thing that we can take the chance with. And do things a little differently than what we've normally done, in the past. Because
which makes it good. That's the one thing I think that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has above any other show that's premiering, is that they have that freedom to say, this is a known entity. We know what we're doing. Avengers was the biggest movie of all time. Let's make this work. Genuinely make it work like we make the movies work. And it's that rare meeting point of something that's genuinely good with something that's genuinely successful. It's both good and successful. The Marvel movies are both good and successful, which is awesome. It so rarely happens.
Yeah, and as long as, you know, something doesn't get in the way.
It will continue to be both good and successful, and we'll get more goodness because success drives production.
Yeah.
So you can get invested in stuff and it will have a long run. Eventually, of course, as all houses of cards which media entities are want to do. It will collapse, but it will be around for a while. You will not have Firefly syndrome where people, you know, watch Firefly and, oh, it's awesome and we like it and it's yada, 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 and then they cancel it. And then the movie doesn't do well, so you're basically never getting any Firefly ever again. It's over, it's over, it's over.
Which it is. It is really.
It's just, over. I mean,
yeah. They're doing the comic. They're doing the. They've revived the comic again.
Yes.
And that's moving forward post Serenity. That's basically how you're going to have to do it.
Right. Which that is not the same sort of thing.
Yeah.
Comics just don't. It's. I wouldn't even consider the comics to be giving it a pulse. It's good that it's going to continue to be good because it's successful. And it's, I can't off the top of my head think of anything else that's like that, that's genuinely good and successful.
Yeah.
I mean, there are obviously going to be problems with everything, but the problems with the Marvel Cinematic Universe are relatively minor, even from a, because I think of the two of us, I'm probably the more cinema hard to please. and I like the movies. I genuinely like the movies. There's not been a Marvel movie I didn't, you know, enjoy. So, and there are lots of movies I don't enjoy. There are lots of really popular movies I don't enjoy.
Right.
So, you know, it's one of those things. Good and successful. That's the key. And why I'm glad I'm a fan and this is happening now is because it's good and it's successful.
So while we're on that topic of things that are good and successful, there was an announcement in the midst of all the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff that some people kind of got lost and some people kind of went, wait, no, you're joking, right? But it's true. There's going to be a Gotham City TV show, and it's going to come from Fox, and it's based entirely on Gotham as...
yeah,
Commissioner Gordon is coming up as a cop.
Right, it's
Jim Gordon is basically Jim Gordon as a cop is what it is.
Pre-Batman?
Yes.
Commissioner Gordon.
Yeah.
We sound like a broken record, Russell.
I know.
That's why I don't even want to do this. I don't even want to get into this with you because I realize how we're not fanboys. The moment Marvel does something shitty, I will be the first fucking person to tell you about it. We're not fanboys. We're not. I swear to God, we're not.
But why do they keep putting us in the situation where we sound like it?
You're gonna do Batman with no Batman.
Right.
Gotham City does not exist. Gotham City doesn't exist it's not a thing that is like, you know, half and half. You know, like, look at something like Burn Notice. People say, oh, the city of Miami is like a character in Burn Notice. And it's true. You get a very Miami flavor. It's very Miami. Batman's not like that. Gotham City is not a character like Miami. In Batman. It's not. It's New York City. That's all it is. That'd be like saying, well, we're going to do a movie set in New York City, but get this. It's the same New York City that Spider-Man will live in like 20 years in the future. Who gives a fuck? So you get to go to Empire State College that doesn't technically exist in New York, but it exists in Spider-Man?
Yeah.
Who cares? That's just NYU. With a different thing.
Imagine if it was filled entirely with, like, random things like, oh, look, the main character is taking a college class that's being adjunct taught by, you know, Peter's dad or something.
Right, right, right. Somebody who references
exactly.
Professor Parker. This is basically what we're going to get. We're going to get another random police procedural, but occasionally when they drive by a big truck, instead of on the side of it saying, Costco, it's going to say Wayne Corp.
Basically.
Welcome to Gotham City.
Yep. The crazier thing is that there is actually a comic out there that took the concept and made something really good with it, Gotham Central. And it's been described as like the Wire of Batman comics from a lot of people. And the thing is that they're not basing the show off the comic either. It's just different. It's just, you know, Gotham with just the cops minus Batman.
But the thing that's different between Gotham Central and whatever they're going to call this is that Gotham Central takes place in Gotham City while Batman is there.
Yeah.
Look at it this way. Gotham Central, you can have the police officers from Gotham City Police Department dealing with... Let's go to something everyone has seen and everyone remembers very well. Let's go to the original Batman movie. Let's take that universe. If you wanted to do a show called Gotham Central based in that universe, you would base it either... Well, you would base it after the events of Batman, the movie, and you would have Gotham City police officers dealing with, like, clown criminals, the kind of smaller stuff that Batman is not necessarily involved in, or how cases work up with until they get to a point where Batman is, you know, it's basically like doing, here's a reference that you'll appreciate. It's basically like the Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead of Gotham City.
Yeah.
Hamlet still exists in Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead. Stuff still happens. Rosencrantz and Guildenstern still do their stuff, but it exists in a world that we're familiar with. Gotham City is not a thing without Batman in it. So if it takes place before Batman, which it undoubtedly must take place before Batman, because Commissioner Gordon is Commissioner fucking Gordon when Batman becomes Batman. In every iteration of Batman, Commissioner Gordon is Commissioner Gordon. Because just time-wise, how could he not be? You know, I mean, if you're going to pull it back far enough that he's not quite commissioner yet, or he's like a beat cop, he's got 15, 20 years until he becomes commissioner. Batman is not active for 15 or 20 years.
Yeah.
Because he's a dude. He's Bruce Wayne.
Yep.
You're going to get a police procedural with Wayne Corp stamped on things, and they're going to call it good.
And occasionally, probably...
and maybe some Superman references. Oh, well, he's hiding out in a town called Smallville in Kansas.
And probably a whole lot of Falcone.
Oh, yeah, I'm certain that's the case.
Yeah, and we're going to see a lot of organized crime and having to deal with corrupt cops. And, I mean, the storylines are there. The storylines are there, but the thing is that the storylines...
Are there for any police procedural?
Exactly!
I mean, just look at and look at it this way. America's not exactly in a love affair with police procedurals based on organized crime. Vegas. Because Vegas was a big show, and they put a lot of names behind it.
Yeah.
Bigger names than undoubtedly are going to be in this Fox series.
Yep.
And it didn't do so hot. It did for, you know, half a season. But they have pulled the plug.
Yeah. And let's... The other side to this is that everyone absolutely looks at this and knows exactly what it is.
Yeah, it's a
rip-off. Someone came in and said, I can do Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
With Batman.
In Batman's town.
Yep.
And someone said, do it. And that's because that's what that is. It's counter-programming.
Yep.
It's counter-programming, plain and simple.
Yep. Thank you, Brandon Tartikoff.
Hopefully.
We're not fanboys. We're not.
Well, I say this. Hopefully it's good. If someone actually did... I mean, Gotham Central, I have not read the comic. I want to read the comic now after reading this. If someone did a TV show like that... It's The Wire, but in Gotham, actually in there.
With Batman actually existing and all of the other Batman-y things. Because you could do something cool if you do it in the Batman universe with Batman there. You could interact with Joker's thugs. You could look at all of the little things that an organization that has, you know, your Two Faces and your Jokers. And you could even get into, I mean, hey, crack open some of the rest of the Rogues Gallery that we're never going to see in the TV show, or that we're never going to see in the movies. Crack open some of the lesser known Batman villains. Hell, start dusting off some old animated series villains.
Take a page out of the movie. Take the Nolan movie, the first one, where they're talking about escalation at the end. Actually bring in some copycats. You know, the B-list, really crappy.
Oh, yeah.
Good, you know, not good enough for Batman, but they're going to hurt people.
Uh-huh.
People get hurt. Bad things happen. You have to go find and deal with these people. Batman can't do it. These guys wind up cleaning up a lot of the mess that's left because Batman exists.
Batman is one guy.
Yes.
Answer the question. What happens on all the what happens with all the stuff that Batman can't do stuff about? You know, or talk about, you know, just go to the Lesser Rogues Gallery. Talk yeah. about bring in Hush.
And
bring in, you know,
Hush might be tough because of how absolutely insanely wrapped up he is specifically with Bruce.
With Batman. Yeah, well, yeah, but it's TV. You can change it around a little bit. Right. Do the Red Hood. Do anybody. You could bring Clayface in. Shit, if we're going really deep.
Yep.
Yeah, so, do something like that. Don't be afraid to be supernatural.
Yeah. Essentially, I mean, that's basically what it reads like Gotham Central was. It ran from 03 to 06.
Uh-huh.
It was talked about being a WB series at one point, Birds of Prey apparently stunk, and so it didn't happen. But, you know, it'd be nice, it'd be great if they could do that kind of a thing. From what we're reading on the pitch, they're not.
No, from what we're reading in the pitch, and if the pitch changes significantly, then we'll change our tune, but right now it sounds like somebody's pitching a police procedural that they're trying to flavor with Batman.
Yeah. Here's how you're going to keep us. You're going to keep us if you do two things. One, actually make it straight up Gotham, because there are Gotham crime stories that are that are uniquely Gotham.
Mm-hmm.
The Falcone family, you know, the dealing with the fallout of what happens when, you know, the Waynes are removed, if they were the kind of impact on the city, you know, and their death had the impact on the city that you saw in the films.
Right,
an interesting angle. Focus on that and put Renee Montoya in the lead. Do that, go watch. But Montoya, put Gordon, put him in the car, have Bullock in there as, you know, the absolute scenery-chewing,
right,
most corrupt piece of ineffective cophood ever. You do those things, that's how you turn the Batman screws. That's how you get it going.
I think you need Batman to be existent in the world.
You really to be as interesting as it as like Gotham Central was, you know, to be able to pull off that end of it, to have any of those really wacky villains in there, you need to have Batman, because that's what the catalyst was.
Right.
You don't have that, you don't have
Batman. And he just needs to exist.
Right.
He doesn't need to be, you know, a thing. He just needs to exist so all this other stuff can exist.
Right. But they do that, and then it's way too close to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right. But if they don't do that, then it's just a police procedural, and occasionally Wayne Corp will happen.
It's a police procedural that references a comic book.
Right. And then that's all it does is reference. And who gives a shit?
That's currently what the pitch sounds like.
Yeah, at the end of the day, who gives a shit? It is Batman-flavored police procedural.
So
instead of saying New York City, you could basically take an episode of Law and Order, and every time they say the New York City Police Department, you bleep out New York City, and you hear somebody say, Gotham City!
Yep.
Then you're done.
Basically. So, DC, if someone is listening, and we hope you are, we don't want to keep doing this.
No,
we don't want to come in and talk about this Marvel stuff was really good. They made smart decisions. They put smart people in the right places. They pitched it well. They did this. It was good. And then there's DC in the corner of the room. His pants are on backwards. He's bumping into the wall. It's just it's embarrassing.
I would love to be two comic book based cinematic universes that went head to head in the box office.
Yeah.
I would love that. I would love to get a badass Batman movie that rivals, you know, Thor Dark World, or beats Thor Dark World. You know,
well,
I would
Thor
love
Dark
to
World,
have
I think
that.
that's a likelihood, but you'd have to have the really solid Batman.
Yeah, you would need, or any other sort of, I'd love to have, you know, Green
Batman
Arrow.
Superman is not going to do it,
no,
is what
no.
we're saying.
Batman Superman's going to be a piece of shit. I would love to see them do, you know, Green Arrow or any of their other... Of course, I'm always going to push for Green Arrow. I am a Green Arrow fanboy. Even though he was originally designed just to kind of win off the popularity of Batman. But still, it works anyway. So is Gambit. Sorry, all you Gambit fans. I'm a Gambit fan too. Everyone always bitches to completely switch gears. Everyone always bitches, oh, we need a Gambit movie. You're never gonna have a Gambit movie because Gambit is Wolverine. That's why you're never going to have one. Because yep. Gambit is Wolverine. He's the same character. He just is kind of cooler, I think. I've never been a big Wolverine fan. He's just kind of cooler. Some people think he's better than Wolverine. Some people think Wolverine is better. You already have a very established Wolverine. You will never have anything more than you had in the original Wolverine movie, where you had some weird guy playing sort of quote-unquote Gambit, but he really only does Gambity things like twice. He could have been anybody else. They just threw him in there to get fanboys and girls. I find that girls like Gambit a lot more than Wolverine normally. Like, he had that sort of a following, though I like Gambit more than Wolverine, too, so maybe I...
Arguably, he was more approachable.
Yeah, well, definitely more approachable. He wasn't necessarily as gruff, very suave. Of course, you have to look back to, because everyone our age, male and female, their first real taste, unless they were dyed-in-the-wool comic book fans, was the Fox Saturday morning cartoon show, X-Men. That one.
Yep.
And Gambit was in it, and Wolverine was in it, and that's where I first started getting into X-Men, and that's where I first was like, Gambit's really fucking cool. He creates cards, and cards are cool, and he throws them, and they blow up, and he has a stick, and I'm all about this, but he's essentially Wolverine. I realized that.
Yeah. That's what he is. You know that kind of, I would say it was pre-hipsterish, but still kind of hipsterish. You pick the X-Men who's not like the main lineup,
uh-huh.
and you're like, I like this guy, and that's how you can say, oh yeah, I like X-Men, but I like this other non-frontliner, non-headlining.
Nerds were really hipsters before hipsters were hipsters. Nerds
if
love,
you really want a hipsterception in.
Nerds love like, oh, I like that, but I like it for this reason that you don't even know about. They really kind of have the key to that, and that's been a thing forever. Oh, I like Star Wars, but I like the expanded universe novels about, you know,
like Grand Admiral Thrawn or GTFO, which you can't even do anymore because he's as big as he is.
Right.
Now you have to go, how deep can I go? Let me think.
Oh, pretty deep.
I know what the expanded universe name for Boba Fett was before the movies came out.
Which they've been retconned in your brain.
Which they then,
you have to make two little drawers for.
You know what? No, I'll take you back. The IG model besides IG-88. The sideways IG model. Like, I think it was like IG-72 or IG-74 or something like that.
Uh-huh.
The one that they didn't like copy their code into whenever they pulled the crap that they pulled in the stories of the Bounty Hunters, which is why there were four IG-88 running around all over the place.
Yeah, I'm not expanded universe guy.
I can even go so far as Borsk Felea, because Borsk Felea was a...
Okay, we've gotten off the rails officially. Now you're speaking
Russian. But still, to bring it back... Bison was always my favorite, kind of not frontline X-Men.
Uh-huh.
And there was actually no reason why, because I didn't read any of the comics. I just read a little bit. It was like, oh, he could absorb energy, and then he pumps it back out. That's really cool.
And you like him.
He's like my go-to X-Men guy. It's like, oh, yeah, I like Bison. It's like, I know a little bit more about X-Men than you because I know Bison. Because I was like, what, 12 or 14, and I was that dumb.
Well, I like Hepzibah, so there.
Yeah. Mm. When you're 12 or 14, you have that excuse. When you are any older than
that. You don't have that excuse anymore.
You don't have that excuse anymore. If you are not actively using your knowledge to help other people enjoy the genre more, legitimately enjoy the genre more, including knowing when to shut up and get out of the way, you're part of the problem.
Yep. Though I will say I always really liked Starjammers.
Yeah.
That whole X-Men team, kind of deal.
But nobody liked Jubilee. I kind of like Jubilee as far as...
I hate Jubilee. I think nobody liked Jubilee because... And now we're getting into the reasons why we liked the animated series, which is fine because it's a fine show. I think the reason people didn't really like Jubilee is because Jubilee was intended to be as much like... the people watching as possible. She was sort of that Luke Skywalker-esque character that we should all be able to relate to. And no one likes Luke Skywalker because he's not the cool guy. He's the normal guy that everyone has to explain stuff to so we, the audience, can learn things too. Everyone likes Han Solo or Chewbacca, or you know, the droids, who are different and weird and can do stuff. You know, everyone likes Princess Leia because she's a princess, but she kicks ass. You know, that's why. But anyway, so all that went on, and I suggest you go and continue to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Give them all of your eyeballs, especially if you're in one of the top 53 DMAs. Consult your local Nielsen book. Then continue to watch, and you'll continue. I mean, if the numbers are there and the numbers stay there, I genuinely believe we will have an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show that is good and good long term. Eventually, it will peter out, because that's the way network TV is, and somebody will always come in and think that they know, or, well, now we don't need to change things too much, and change is good, as we all know. Losing is fun, and change is good.
I kind of want to pitch an alternate idea to that. They are planning Marvel movies.
Mm-hmm.
And they're planning specific Marvel movies, Phase 2, Phase 3. Mm-hmm. They're going to be doing these, for, you know, and they have enough Marvel's content that they could start just mining that the same way that same way that Disney plans to mine the Star Wars vein. They are going to drill that sucker until mm-hmm. they crack the earth in half. So with the TV show, I would argue that there should be a limited window that they say, okay, we're going to do Phase 3 Marvel. We're going to end here. We're going to start a new set of storylines on the Avengers. And that's going to be the end of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is done after Phase 3 Marvel. You get like 5 seasons or 6 seasons. You get 6 seasons, period, and then it's done.
Yeah, no chance in hell that happens.
No. No chance in hell. I would argue that it should. That they can say, we're going to take 6 seasons, and they do it British-like. We're going to do it 6 seasons. We're going to stop it after 6 seasons, and these things are going to happen in season 1, 2, 3, mm-hmm. 4, 5, 6. Done. Period. And it ends here. We don't have the hanging storylines. We don't just make shit up week to week so that it's one happenstance thing after another, kind of mm-hmm. like Lost, where we're trying to figure out what exactly we're trying to tell in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
You make it a planned out thing, because they have spent so much time planning all the other aspects of it. There's no reason why they shouldn't put that same forethought here.
No, totally agree. I just think they could do that, and they could come out with a new something TV show that's similar, fills that same vein, if they want to expand the cinematic universe into TV.
What's the group Luke Cage was part of? It it's like Hazard or Hazard Crew.
The Hellions? Shoot.
No, they were the cleanup. They always came in and handled cleanup. I think it was like a private entity, and Luke Cage was like involved with them or ran into them and dealt with them a whole lot. But they came in.
Was it H for H? Heroes for Hire?
No.
That was the group he was in with. Shit.
No, it was like a company. Like, it was an actual, you know, private sector. It was kind of like S.H.I.E.L.D. It was an agency. It was a group. It was a company. And they came in and they handled cleanup. They're even in, like, the little, the iPad game that you can get for this. Damn it, that is going to drive me freaking nuts.
Was it the one where it's all old super villains?
No, it's all Damage Control.
Oh.
Damage Control is what I'm thinking of. It's a fictional construction company, specializes in fixing property damage caused by conflicts between superheroes.
Oh, Luke Cage was in that?
Well, he was involved, I remember specifically seeing Damage Crew in a thing that had Luke Cage involved in his group, you know. I'd have to go way back and try to figure the connection out, but it would be interesting if they said, okay, we're doing Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and that's going to encapsulate, you know, phases 1, 2, and 3 of Marvel, which is, you know, like the Avengers, the way it runs, you know, Avengers 1, 2, and 3, and then done. Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to move into the next section, which is a whole new trilogy that still deals with stuff that's existing in the world, but we're going to follow a completely different group that we have possibly introduced during phase 1, 2, or 3. You know, maybe the Illuminati. Maybe you cover Civil War. Maybe you do something else.
Civil War would be hard because you'd need all the names.
Well, yeah, it'd be a
unless they did like Civil War, but kind of. I'm going back to this wall again. Unless you did sort of Civil War, Rosencrantz's Guildenstern are dead, which is the more minor.
All the side. But see, that's where that is where you might even get something even deeper. For instance, if you had the Civil War movie that followed the big storyline, like if you're looking at this, it actually works out the way that they do it in the comics. Because in the comics, if you'll remember, the Civil War took up like 12, 13, God, how many different...
There are tons. It takes a whole shelf.
So it takes all the different lines of, you know, it was in Captain America, it was in Iron Man, it was in Spider-Man, it was all over the place. In terms of TV and movies, you do the movie, it's the main Civil War storyline, it's the main conflicts between, you know, the pro-registration, the anti-registration, you've got Captain America on one side, Iron Man on the other side, and then you have the TV show that is taking place in the world that Civil War is going on. Mm-hmm. And you have this group, or you have just, you know, different people that are involved in it, and it goes week to week where you're dealing with the fallout of Civil War. It ties into the movies the way that S.H.I.E.L.D. does. It gives you the, you know, multi-season stint because you have to deal with all the different effects that come out of Civil War, which there were many. And then you have a straight TV tie-in that plays off the movies but is its own thing. And you wrap Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. before you do the Civil War movies so that you can launch the Civil War TV show at the same time. It's contained. It's planned. It feeds into each other. And it makes the whole thing better. Is it going to happen? Probably not a snowball's chance in hell.
No, there's no chance. But I don't think they ever go. I don't think they will ever go Civil War at all.
It's way too out there as far as, you know, it's too comic book. It is way too comic book.
Yeah, it is. I would say it's and this is gonna sound kind of weird. I would say it's too sophisticated for the movies, for these sort of movies. We have to realize these movies are made not for people who like movies, but for people who like to go to see big movies. And when people who go to see big movies don't want, you know, these sort of moral conflict-y type movies. They don't want to see Iron Man as sort of a bad guy. They don't want to see, you know, Captain America being killed. That's not the sort of thing that sells movie tickets. I would argue.
Yeah.
You want big explosions and snappy dialogue and fighting big monsters because those things sell tickets. People take their kids to go see those. I mean, think about it this way. Who would take their kid to go see a movie where Captain America gets killed? Nobody. So, as much as I like the idea, I would love to see it. I'd love to see it like PG-13. That'd be awesome. Don't necessarily need to go rated R because I'm not always for rated R.
Despite the fact that you have the whole incident that sparks the Civil War is the mass destruction. And this is probably maybe result in trigger warning for some people. But there's an incident where a super team is going after a villain's team and something happens and they wipe out an entire town.
Yeah.
Like they kill hundreds and hundreds of people.
Yeah, they kill kids. And it was a superhero team who were basically filming their own reality show.
Yes.
And they blow up. There's a guy whose name I forget, who blows up and kills a bunch of people. And yeah, it's not good. But that could be, you know, you could do that PG-13. I think that'd be cool. It'll never happen though. Unfortunately,
that's the thing.
It'd be cool.
These are things that are cool that will likely never happen.
Never happen. I mean, though, I will say this. At one point in time, I remember reading in comic books in the 90s how they were talking about putting together a Captain America movie and saying how long the rumors of Captain America movie had been going on. And this was pre widely available internet. How long they had been rumored that there was going to be a Captain America movie, and now they had someone who's going to play Red Skull. And so at some point in time, people were saying there's no chance in hell we'll ever have a Captain America movie. Now we're about to have the third one, so... Yep. Counting Avengers. So, anyway, we had originally planned on talking about D&D. I knew. Before the podcast, we discussed what topics we're going to talk about, and we kind of estimate how long it will take us to talk about them. We figured we would have enough time in the podcast to talk about both this and the fact that the final D&D Next playtest has been released. It's the final thing we'll have before we have the actual product. in which will be about a, it's about a year out according to Mike Merles. I figured we could talk about both. Clearly, not the case.
Yeah, but like, oh, it'll take us about 20 minutes to get through Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Yeah, then I threw Gotham Log on the fire.
Yeah, well, there was that. And to be, and you said it had kind of sneaked by unnoticed. I had only heard of like right when you mentioned it, I suddenly remembered I had heard something about somebody had mentioned something about doing a show with a young Commissioner Gordon, and that's where all that came from. Next week, little preview, we will talk about the final D&D Next playtest packet as it's come out. We are currently playtesting D&D Next and have for a couple months now. We've gone through the last two playtest packets, and I think we have a good idea what we're going to see in D&D Next, and I think we will be able to kind of expand out what we'll see, and specifically if we are interested or not. We have both wavered. I know I have. I'm sure, I believe you have too, Russell.
Yeah, I've kind of gone back and
forth. As to supporting it, not supporting it, supporting it, not supporting it. I feel a certain way that I don't want to get into right now because we do not have time, but I feel a certain way that I think is going to stick with me until launch, and thereafter, of course. Yeah. I feel like I have made up my mind on 80% of D&D Next. I feel a certain way. So that'll be all next week. But for now, as always, our music is Out Prop featuring Esset. Check them out on uhort.no. Again, if you're doing anything for Extra Life, shoot us an email or hit us up on Twitter. We'd like to let people know and so they can give to your campaign. If you want to give to Russell or to anybody else that we're going to be Extra Lifing with, I'll put all that information on the podcast page. You can just get a hold of us on Twitter. That's at GIR Podcast. You can also shoot us an email to GIRpodcast@gmail.com. For Russell, this is Jeremy. Thanks for listening.
You know, I really want to know how the airplane joke ends.